Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Corinth was a moral cesspool, its pagan temple filled with prostitutes. The church there was plagued with sexual sins, including incest. As a result, we have very clear teaching on how a Christian should live sexually so as to glorify God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. 1 Corinthians 6:11 gives hope to all who have sexual sins in their pasts.
Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. We usually don't include them, do we? The swindlers? The greedy? I thought it's okay to be greedy. I thought that's what America is all about, is greed. Well, this is what the text says. Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. There's the list who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very serious stuff. Don't be deceived. Does this mean, for example, that homosexuals should be changed to heterosexuals in terms of their desires? Well, that oftentimes happens over a period of time, but it isn't necessarily the case. What we expect of those, notice it says, those who practice homosexuality, what we expect of those who struggle with homosexuality is the very same thing that we expect from those who are heterosexual singles, namely chastity and commitment to purity. And that's what the Bible indeed would require. But the question is, how do you get there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Notice it says, and this such were some of you. Such were some of you. Past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. So they had all those sins back then too. Yes, they did. But such were some of you. It's in your past. First of all, the Apostle Paul says you're washed. That means you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You've believed in his deliverance and his forgiveness. And after you have come to faith in Christ, if you're listening today and you're not a believer, I encourage you to do that. Come to saving faith in Christ. Admit your sinfulness. Be thankful that he died on the cross for sinners and paid the debt of all who would believe on him and receive that free gift of eternal life. And you become washed. And after that, those of us who have had that experience, we continue to be washed through deep confession and repentance. And the Bible says, if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal covenant offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Isn't it wonderful that our consciences can be totally purged? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. You may be forgiven, but also I encourage you to be cleansed. That is to say, that even your heart tells you that you have been cleansed by God, because the nagging conscience and the memories and the self-condemnation are all gone because of Jesus and because of your confession. So the Bible says you are washed. David, you remember, committed both murder and adultery, and he said, wash me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. I used to ponder that, and those of us who live here in Chicago, knowing what snow is like, we say, how could you possibly get whiter than snow? Until I learned that if you take a bucket of snow and you heat it and it melts, the water, of course, is in the bottom of the bucket, and in that water there is a residue. God is saying that I can even wash you so clean that there is no residue, whiter than snow. So he says, you are washed. Now, washing itself makes us clean, but it doesn't deliver us. It doesn't keep us clean, does it? We need something else. And that's why he goes on to say, but you are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart by God. The actual meaning is you have been made holy by God. And sanctification is a process that we have throughout our entire lifetime, but it cannot happen without some personal disciplines, being in the Word of God, being in prayer, yielding to God every day, giving our days to God. But it also can't happen without help from other believers. That's why we here at the Moody Church, we have TMC communities, we have small groups, we have all of these opportunities for us to meet together, because we cannot live the Christian life alone. And some of you are into addictions and you're into relationships that you cannot break with some outside help from other believers. And that's why it's so important for you to be willing to confess and to go for help to whomever you believe can help you, someone whom you trust, so that these relationships can be broken, because they are tremendously powerful. But God says, I've washed you. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You need to live that out. And you have been justified. You have been declared righteous in God's sight. And in being declared righteous in God's sight, you have a standing that gives you some sense of assurance, some sense of knowledge that you belong to God and you belong to Him forever. And so through the washing of the water through the Word, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it talks about that by His mercy we have been saved by the washing of water through the Word of God. In this way, we are constantly being cleansed, we are constantly being helped, we are constantly being given encouragement along our journey of life. Paul says to those involved in such sins, such were some of you. Now I have to ask you a question. Some of you who are listening to this, you're going to have to pay quite a price, aren't you, for obedience to God. But there it says, don't be deceived. Don't continue the rationalizations that you've had in your mind for months and maybe years, because all those fall in the presence of the Word. And the question is, are you willing to pay that kind of price? For some of you, it's breaking that relationship, it's breaking those bonds, it's receiving cleansing for all of the soul ties that you've had in your past. It is a dedication to sexual purity, whether you are married or unmarried, the commitment to be able to say, by God's grace, I will be who Jesus redeemed me to be. And everything that God asks you to do is based on that which Jesus has done. So the work has been laid, the work of the cross, the work of the Spirit is there. But what you need to do is to receive it, and that may be difficult. You know, the Bible says that He breaks the power of canceled sin. It's possible for your sin to be canceled, but its power is still there. And so what you need is help. Help from God and help from others. I remember speaking to a young man here at the Moody Church many years ago who wanted to marry a young woman who had many soul ties in her pre-conversion days. And he asked me about it, and I said that even though this young woman, whom I happen to know, even though she is no longer a virgin in her body, she is a virgin in her soul. There is such a thing, I think, as spiritual virginity. God can restore the years. God can restore the soul so that you can glorify God again, no matter what your past is. But the question is, are you willing to do what is necessary? When Jesus was talking about sexual sin, you remember He says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. And then He says, if your hand offends you, He said, cut it off and cast it from you. Because He says, it would be better for you, and surely it would be, to be in heaven with one eye than to be in hell with two. Or to be in heaven with one arm than to be in hell with two. Obviously, He was speaking metaphorically. But what Jesus was saying in the strongest possible way is this: do whatever is necessary to get rid of those sexual sins and bonds that keep dragging you down. Do not be deceived. Don't rationalize. Accept what God has to say so that it can be said of you, and such were you, but now you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. Let's pray. Father, I have no idea for whom this message is intended, but I know that you know and they know exactly for whom it was intended. I'm only praying that the Holy Spirit of God would grant grace to wherever he has spoken to us, to know that your word says we are to flee from sexual immorality, even at high personal cost. Father, I want to pray for those who are in adulterous relationships that they have justified. I pray that you'll give them the grace to come clean. For singles who are involved in relationships, for those who struggle with homosexuality and those relationships, Father, we're all sinners and we're all broken, but grant special grace, we pray, that we might be able to glorify you in our bodies. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they do that even where they are. May they reach out today and say, I want to be cleansed, I want to be made whole by Jesus. Do that, Father, for us, we pray. And now, before I close this prayer, would you talk to God? And would you ask him what you need to do to obey God's word? Father, give all of us a spirit of repentance, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can't help but think that there are many of you who listen to this message who say that you would like to listen to it again so that you can hear it in its entirety, so that you can share it with others. If there's ever a message that we need for our culture and our situation, it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul lays out the fact that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and that sexual sin should not be a part of our lives. I appeal to you today. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how this message and these messages entitled Nothing Else Matters, how they can be yours. And I also want to say thank you to the many of you who encourage us, those of you who connect with us. Tell us if the Lord is using this ministry in your life. Let us know that as we come into your homes and cars and offices and businesses, that we are indeed a blessing. I trust that God will give you a good day. And today, let us walk in the strength and the power of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Such were some of you, but were washed and justified by the Spirit. God bless you. Have a good day, all day.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding God's Glory in Our Sexuality, his fifth message on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, don't miss finding God's glory in our suffering. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.